Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone, Sacred Surfers. How do you like that name, Sacred Surfers? Hey, and everyone in the chat room, also known as Sacred Space of Empowerment, co-hosts, co-pilots, and sound engineers. Is that too much responsibility for the chat? I don't know. I think you guys can handle it. Anyway, really excited for today's show. I have a woman on later, Toshi Powers, evolutionary astrologer. We're going to be diving into what the year of the horse means. I saw her at Olander in Malibu, home of personal friend and friend of Awakenings, Lee Miklowski, who does a lot of great programs there. And I thought, oh, my God, I got to share her with my Awakenings peeps. So we'll be doing that. The second half of the program for the Awakening Dialogue. Rest of you, if you want to call in for questions, comments, readings, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know you want to get on air. Also, I want to give a major hug and thanks. We have some new appreciation feedback on the iTunes page, and you all know how I love that. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Posting on Facebook is great as well, and keeps the mojo for the show flowing. It's just a nice thing to do, and it feels good. And also, especially when you leave those great, the great feedback on iTunes, it bumps us up more in their personal search engine as well as the Google search engine. So it's just, you know, more interaction, more feedback, more people find us, and more people we connect and share with. So. Chat is a little wonky because I see people on phone lines. I'll be getting to you because I love answering calls. Chat came on late, a little wonky because Michelle, in all her great glory, I always do this during a Mercury retrograde or Mars retrograde, which we're in Mars retrograde. I thought, oh, I'm going to switch out modems because I'm switching companies. And, of course, text just, I shouldn't say never, but really never. Goes easily. And so I was doing like some major fancy footwork behind the scenes, unplugging modems, checking modems, plugging modems back in, and then realizing that I wasn't, even though I'm paying for my Time Warner and I'm paying for my Clear Internet, both should be working perfectly. The Time Warner kept saying, you have to activate the modem. I'm like, what the heck is activate the modem? Don't I just plug it in? Anyway. So that is life. Oh, you guys, everybody, totally check out my new blog post on Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. That's Soul Insights, the number 4, Spirit-Led Living. Or you could just Google Soul Insights, Michelle Mache, and it'll come up. Or if you connect with me on Facebook, the link is there as well. I dive into the energies of April. And I also did a video post, Soul Bites, or Soul Bits, bits of information, megabits of info and insight for your soul. I kind of like that tagline. What do you think? Anyway, it's on my YouTube channel, which is either my name, Michelle Mache, or Lightbeing21. And the Soul Bits that I did for April kind of maps out what to expect. Really for the year, I mean, it's like, get your roller skates, roller blades, skateboard on. Just get your surfer out. We've really got to ride these waves. We're really being pushed. You're either being, in a sense, pushed by your pain or pulled by your inspiration, you know, your pleasure, your joy meter right now. And there's not a lot of, if you know, movement, you can do movement. If you do too big of a movement or not enough movement, you'll get a little snap. You get a little snap, a little tap on the wrist, and that can come from people or situations or just people are testy. there's a lot of relationships that are breaking up because they're just no longer in resonance or they're changing form. People that have been married a long period of time, it's time to move on. And holding on will only cause more pain. You know, pain shows where we need to grow or we've already grown. It's like when you have shoes that are too small for you, it's not that it's good or bad. It's like those shoes are no longer life-enhancing or fulfilling, even though they're beautiful and you have an attraction to them. They're too small. So everybody's going to be seeing areas where it's just where you've grown past, where it's too small, where you need to expand out, where your higher self is nudging you to expand out. And I'm going to be doing Siren Dreams that I super glued my pants on so I don't lose them. Yep, that's so true. Let's see, Siren Dreams, yep, pretty rough energy this past week. Yeah, I mean, I even feel it. You know, it's like I'm really having to use my tools, projection, perception. I'm really having to remember, do not text when you're unsteady. Be calm when you text. Be calm when you email. Be calm. Be centered with that conversation. So part of it is the year of the horse, and Tasha is going to talk to us about that. Part of it is that we're receiving so much energy, so much universal energy, so much of us, and it's very electrical, and we're feeling we need to do something with it. You know, we need to go somewhere, do something with it. We need to handle that. We need to clear that up. We need to jump in. We need to jump out. And yet we have still Saturn, which is dinky donkey, slow, boom, bada boom, bada, sequential. You know, Uranus energy is not sequential. It spits, it sparks, and it's parallel. You know, processing. It's here, it's there, it's nothing and everything, and sparks and one and two and then 20 at a time. And then we have Saturn that is sequential. It's 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, step by step, patience, perseverance, check things out, build, form, good, structure. So we've got a little taffy-pulling contest with those energies that are also us. We are the planet, you know, the cosmic energy of us and how it affects us. It's not that it's an interplay of other aspects of us. So I'm very focused, connected, and inspired to share the downloading of these energies, but also how to acclimate with them, how to play with them, how to tap into that and be the new emerging consciousness that we are, come in and inform us, to change us. Here's a key. Allow the people around you to inform what has to happen. Become even more magnetic, especially if there's areas in your life of uncertainty, the unknown, or changeability. Wait and see. Allow that person, people, or situation to inform you. Watch what they do. Watch how they respond. Watch how they morph or the situation morphs, and that will tell you how to respond. Think moon, sun. Read on the sun and the moon in the tarot and think of that interplay. Think of the interplay of the lovers, not just as earthly love, but as integration of the male and female aspects of we are, the masculine, the feminine, the yin and the yang, the yin and the yang, the communication. The lovers is actually ruled by Gemini. So think your dual natures. How can you balance that? Think complementary. Everything is about balancing out right now. Okay, I want to read a couple of email questions, and then we're going to get to phone lines. And Gail's got a question. I don't usually answer personal questions, but this I kind of tapped into this, saying I'm in a relationship with a man that's precious to me. We haven't said I love you yet, have been dating a year. I feel he cares for me as well. I think we both realize this relationship is special. I just moved to this town. We had been an hour apart, excited about all the possibilities. He has never been married, and I see that I could have a future with him as my husband. What do you see for us? Let's just not qualify. Let's say you see a future with him. There's future. Watch out for labels right now. People are testy about labels, especially not unheard of, but a little unusual that you've been dating a year and there's no I love you. If you feel it, say it. I find the I love yous come – anybody in the chat have some I say them 3 months. I say I love you to friends. I feel the I love you's usually come a little sooner. There, I feel there's a back off with him. I feel like energetically I see this little kind of gossamer wall, kind of a cautious, let me observe wall. But I do feel there's continued dancing for the two of you. Keep in the possibilities, keep in the moment of the unfolding. And I would say requalify this, Gail, and say, I see a future with him, or I am in a present with him, and an unfolding future. And keep us posted. He may down the road not be enough for you. There could be another one coming in that you have to weigh it out to see, do I stay in this and see where this unfolds? He might take a little longer. Heck, I had a good friend of mine, her husband. They dated 7 years or 6 years. They definitely said I love yous a lot sooner, but they dated a long time. They dated quite a few years before living together, and then they lived together, and then they got married like 3 years or 4 years after living together. So different people, different paces and patterns, different times, different paces and patterns. But try to move out of the label of things right now and see what is unfolding and what you feel. And I always say, whatever's life-enhancing, whatever's fulfilling on a soul level, your heart will open. There might be some little funny feelings in the tummy, but you won't feel constricted. If you start feeling constricted or your shoulders start going in when you're thinking of a decision, or you feel tight in the center of your body, that means it's not in enough resonance and coherence for you and your soul design, your soul path. So if that helps at all. And then a quick question from Justin. Hey, Justin, thanks for writing in. Can you change your core aura? My aura is bright green, but I read that a deeper or more evolved aura for the heart or a healer is a pink or a gold. Ooh, this is a good question. Ooh, I love this. Okay. My core aura is magenta. And depending on what I'm doing, if I'm teaching, there might be more yellow coming in. Our core aura corresponds to our soul design, the base, you know, frequency or complex of frequencies that we are. It can alter over time but not completely change, but colors can be added. It's not that anything is good or bad or better. I always see the heart aura energy as pink, not so much green. I know a lot of people say green. And you said aura is bright green, but I read that a deeper, more evolved aura, evolved. It's like magenta. I come in on the 11th ray. So your auras are going to represent the 11th ray or 11th and 12th ray. I come in with the transpersonal energies of Arcanon. Magenta has to do with collective love, love of self, you know, acceptance of self, but love of others and acceptance of others. It's the 11 chakras and up. So it's more of a group energy that I come in with. So my aura is magenta. Pictures have been taken of it. But depending on what I'm doing, there can be a little more blue, a little more purple. So depending on the ray you come in with, or some people come in with sub-rays. We've done shows on this, and we'll probably maybe dive in and do it again. You know, if you come in with a lot of teacher energy, you're going to have a lot of yellow, or intellectual energy. You're going to have a lot of, yellow coming in. So indigo, you know, you're coming more on the mental plane, the visioners. The quality, the depth can change a bit. You're ever morphing. But I would try to get out of, Justin, I'm not of the belief of that something's better or more evolved. It just is. It just is what you're coming in with, if that makes sense. So that bright green is attractor. One thing you can work with is more balancing and more healing of the heart energy, and that will begin to adjust the aura. Question though, good question. Sounds like you come in with a lot of balancing energy and healing energy. You know, when I do a lot of energy work, and I started way back when, some amazing teachers. You know, we got to be not so cut and dry about these aura colors and what they mean. Because there's some personal influence that's there as well. So I would just say not to be so fixed in with it. Connect in with your higher self, open to source energies, and see what the meaning is for you. I know forever, always, like the heart chakra, that's why it was pink, rose, you know, that's why the rose quartz corresponded. And somewhere along the line in the 90s, some books came out and said, oh, no, it's green, you know, and then, so whatever. I don't know. Things kind of change over time, and then certain influences come in and influence people. But I would say the green has a lot to do with health, healing, and balancing. So you may be even working with people not just on an emotional level, but on a physical or physiological level. That's what that green ray brings in when you have more green, and especially very bright. Now, areas where there's like a yellowy, almost kind of mucusy color, kind of a celery kind of color coming in, would show areas perhaps of imbalance, illness, whether in the physical body or etheric body. And definitely by you getting your vitality up and the immune system up, that will flush that out. So if that's something that you need to address, call me. Call me on Awakenings and we can chat about this, or I could do a little energy healing or scan you and see what's going on. But that's possible. But I feel like in some level you're working more with physicality this time around. So that might be why the bright green, which is a nice color, I think, anyway. All right, let's get to those phone lines. Okay, here we go. 267-285, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Oh, wow, I'm the first. This is crazy. How are you, Michelle?
I'm doing great. I recognize this voice as
I know.
It's a wonderful light being Kathy.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? I decided to call back in from last week because I know, you know, you didn't have enough time, and there were actually two questions that I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And so the question I wanted to ask you today is it's about work again. However, I was presented with this opportunity. And the opportunity, not necessarily to, like, leave my job or anything, but it could possibly be something that I can do on the side. And I wanted to know if you saw it being promising at all, or should it be something I shouldn't waste my time with?
Let me just ask, is this working with somebody that you know?
It was somebody that I met. It's somebody know her. Yeah, I met her out, and she was telling me about something that she does. And she was like, you know, if you're interested, you know, come to one of our meetings and get a little bit more information. And I've been there a couple of times, and I'm like, I've been on the fence about it.
Yeah, I feel like it's something you think you should do, but I don't know that it's something that you actually need to do, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I feel like you're looking for something else to either bridge to, but it's not there yet, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Almost. You're getting closer. You're getting closer. Yeah.
Okay.
You're getting closer. But I think, like, this is going to take time away. Does that make sense? Or takes time to build up. Maybe it's building up. I don't know. It feels like it could pull. You know, I think go to the meetings, play it out. I think you'll know more by probably in the next couple weeks. But you might even start it and then go, you know what, I just realized I just can't do it. I feel for you, the connecting with people, the meeting up with people is great. That's probably what you're wanting more of, is what I feel, more connection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so go for that.
Okay.
That's, you know, go.
Yeah.
So go for that. Check it out. But just, I wouldn't be surprised if you just don't stay with it. You know, it's not yet your thing, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. But you know, sometimes we just need confirmation because you know, I don't want to. I mean, I could go forward with it, and I know that it's my choice, but at the same time, going into it, I was like, I don't think that this is for me, but, you know, maybe I should try it because I don't know what would come out of it.
Check it out. Check it out, but I feel like it's more of the, for you, it's just more of connecting with people.
Yeah, that's what it does involve a group of people and coming together and networking and things like that. And obviously that's something that I haven't done in a really long time. So I did enjoy that. And the team aspect of it I liked. But everything else, like you said, it would be something that I would have to build up because it involves clients and, you know, trying to get recruits and things like that. And I'm just like, wait, I don't know if this is... if I'm there mentally to do that.
Well, I think you just want to connect. So,
okay.
You know, do it for connection, but find other places that you can connect because that's what you're really wanting. But not to do the recruits or get people in and all that. That's going to be tiring and boring to you.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, I don't really feel like doing this. This is a lot of effort.
Yeah, but that's how I feel now. That's exactly how I feel. And I found myself saying that, and I'm just like, I don't know. But then on the flip side, I also do, you know, vlogs and things like that on YouTube, and I really, really enjoy that. And I was thinking about, I wonder if I could somehow maybe take that further.
I would go in that direction. I would go more in that direction. Yeah, I would definitely go more in that direction. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. I got it. That's all I needed.
Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm having a little trouble with my cursor here. Hey, 201716, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm here. Who's
this?
This is
Debbie. My question was, thank you. My question was, at first was, what's going on with my love life? But while I was holding on, something more interesting came to mind, which is, how do I see my aura, or how do I know what my aura is? And do everything and everybody and everything have an aura? And if so, how can I see it?
Okay. Everything and everything has an aura. It is that as we step a little bit down in frequency to become more, to see ourselves as physically manifested, it's the coloration of the complex of vibrational frequency. So people know this that work with color or sound or music, like notes correspond to certain numerical ratios, right? So the aura is just that. It represents...
Okay.
That your desire, but it's not good or bad. I mean, just vibrational frequency, whatever those numbers are that can be. And there are people that are able to look at the aura and see what numbers or, you know, number sequences are in play. The best, and so everything has an aura because everything is energetic. So out of that aura then comes, you know, it's also the energy around the physical body. We call it the etheric plane. It's more subtle energy. They call our physical body the gross or dense body. And if you look up gross, G-R-O-S-S, which I love doing that kind of stuff. Let's just look and see. It's the denser, you know, aspect of us. It's the large or, how do you want to say? It's the weighty, you know, so the gross physical body is what everybody sees easily with physical eyes. And then the subtle energy is what we feel. And we do my soul path workshops that we do, the tele-workshops, we play with that. You can feel this people, other your own subtle energy, other people's where it interacts. And so we really work with that and play with that, and that's where we do our healing work and interplane work from. So, yes, everyone has an aura. The best way to see it is to soften your eyes. Don't strain. Is even like closing your eyes a little bit halfway and practicing doing that with yourself, other people, trees, whatever, animal beings, And you'll start seeing a little, like, you know, kind of fuzzy kind of lights, sometimes little, like, sometimes people see, like, little blinking lights. You'll start seeing more of the diffused energy of that innate, you know, being. So that's the best way to do that, and to train the eye basically to see more the subtle energy instead of just the gross energy.
So, because I see that. Another question is that I see that I can see that at any time with anything and anybody. That's why I ask, because I can look at a person and see their aura, and I just thought maybe that was something wrong with me.
I'm
like, why am I seeing these colors around these people? And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's what it was.
Yeah. A lot of people see it. Animal beings see it really well. Children see the lights or orbs very easily. See, we're trained. Basically, when you start getting trained not to daydream and stare out in space at school, you're getting trained to go away from your psychic self. I hate to say it.
Okay.
Because it's you know, like, what you can see, like, when you first waking up in the morning or falling asleep, when you're in that kind of dreamy or more meditative state, it is easier to not only feel but see the subtle energy or see other beings, other dimensional beings and all of that. So some people have it more naturally or innately, but a first step in training to see it is to relax the body, relax the eyes, and don't strain when you're looking. And even again, do the eyes a little half-masked. Yeah, thanks for that, Debbie. Great question.
Okay, Michelle, thank you very much. But what's going on with my love life?
She's like, I'm getting too in here. Okay, we're going to try to get only one to two questions in, since we got a lot of time. Let's see. No, don't apologize. I love people that ask demand. Ask the universe. Were you in a long distance relationship for a while, or did somebody move?
I moved. That's been 10 years now.
No, I know, but that seems like the last time, the last major. Okay.
Yeah, that's about 5 years ago.
Let's see. Well, there's a lot of focus right now on your career. I kind of feel May, June. I mean, April, there could be a little something, but I feel like into the summer months, you're going to be more playful, more active, and draw some people into to date. And I feel one of them coming in. I can see you guys laughing a lot. It's going to be really fun. But it's a little more towards the summer is what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people in relationships this year. A lot of people.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Keep us posted, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hi, 323-638, you're on Awakenings Radio.
Hey, Michelle, it's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela, welcome.
Thank you.
Holy God. Yeah.
So right now I have three things going on physically, and I don't know if they're related energetically or emotionally or if it's just physical, like I could just eat better. But so I'd like my hair clearer skin, and I have irregular periods. So I was wondering what is going on.
Well, the first thing that came to me that I started taking that has a lot of silica is that food-grade diatomaceous earth.
Oh.
Also known as DE. Well, I just when you start, I got a hit on that for definite. I'm gonna check it. I've actually been playing around with pendulums again. I love them because I've been playing a lot more with the subtle energy, and I'm helping a good friend of mine. I don't know if he's listening. To tap more into his inner knowing. So let's see for Angela the DE. How is the diatomaceous earth? Yeah. Now, I do feel you do need – I would get the DE, the diatomaceous earth, for the food grade. Just place it online, you can get – I get mine from my neighbor, but I think she gets it online.
You know what's funny? I take it – I've been taking it more recently, but on and off.
You need a good dose of, like, two teaspoons daily, maybe even three. the thing I feel with you that's missing is, you know, it's funny. Where is, oh, it was the email caller with the bright green aura. You need more greens in your diet. So chlorella, spirulina. I feel like there's some heavy metals.
Oh, okay.
That you're detoxing from.
Uh-huh.
And also copper. You have a lot of copper around you in your system. So watch things right now that are too metallic, but the chlorella will help strip that and rebuild, and also the spirulina will as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see with the period. Well, I get good, you know, a nice, what is that, like vitamin? Look at my little thing here. Like only one vitamin with you know, the multivitamin with omega-3s. There's actually, it's called Irwin Naturals, only one, but get it with iron and also the omega-3s. So fish oils would be good for you as well. Another thing for stress and energy, ashwagandha. You basically need a really good multivitamin, which I think only one is good, and I would add just some extra Bs. Maybe for you, I'm hearing B6, B5, B12. There's something going on with the blood. I don't know if it's a little – you're not telling me anemic, but I feel like you're
– I am. Yeah, I'm
– yeah.
It's a genetic thing.
A little bit, right?
Yeah. I'm – it's a very minor thalassemia.
Okay, that's why I'm getting that. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I see in that, oddly enough, every week to 2 weeks, if you took the DHEA as well,
mm-hmm.
every one to two, it's a hormonal precursor. But
mm-hmm.
the see what it is you've got to watch. There is the anemia. You need also more oxygen in your system, so more oxygenated water. Putting lemon in the water, just some deep breathing exercises here and there. It doesn't have to be a big deal. That's going to get the blood flow going more. See, the anemia that I'm picking up on is kind of congesting stuff in the system. So you're not ridding the toxins readily enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So even putting cinnamon or cayenne pepper, because they're catalysts, into foods or smoothies, or you could take, they have cayenne pepper supplements, or adding ginger, any of these heat-producing will start moving things around more, and that's going to help with digestion and elimination. And you need protein. You definitely need protein. But I want to say you have to be a little aware of how much meat comes in because of the right now, just as the digestion is slowed down a bit. It's just a little cloggy, a little mucky. But I even see they're showing me like red meat. They're showing me like blood, red, you know, the blood has to be more enriched. There's a slight anemia there.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that help?
Totally. Is this related to my skin issue as well as just getting things going?
Everything. Yes.
Okay.
Everything. See, what people don't realize, and, you know, when I scan medically what I see or, you know, physiologically, physically, you know, you think of your bloodstream, of the veins and arteries as like a freeway, right? But there's fluid. It's like a little canal. If you've ever been, like, in Europe, they have these that they call the locks. It's what you're in the boat, and you go floating along, and then you come to the lock. It's like a big fence. You got to jump out and then open the lock, and then the boat flows through, right? Well, when there's not enough oxygen in there or wind, the boat's going to be slow, and maybe leaves and stuff fall in, and they're going to clog things up. So a lot of times, a lot of our physical physiological symptoms come from not enough water to keep things flowing. You know, or good beverages, and getting that oxygenation. Also, vitamin C for you, that good B complex with vitamin C, extra C. You know, some mega doses of C, because vitamin C brings more oxygenation into our body. Also, CoQ10 is another thing that does that as well. Anything that's good for the heart, circulation, or blood flow is going to bring more oxygen in and get things moving. Yeah, you'll notice a big difference. You know, even just putting the cinnamon or cayenne pepper, getting things flowing, your skin will clear up. You'll be more regular, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, all right, okay.
Angela, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Big hug.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Hi, 604-588. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Hello.
Hello. What's your first name?
Charlene.
Charlene, hi. What's your question?
I have so many. And I know one is what's there. I'm going to go with love life. So, if there's any help that you can give me or insight on that, that would be great.
Okay, that's a big question. So what specifically? By the way,
there's a man I'm seeing.
Relationship and relating. Okay, man you're seeing, yes.
Yes, so just how does it feel with the direction there and where it's going?
Well, I feel you have you have questions. I feel like there's a deep connection there. It's also very, very loving, very connected, very there's kind of like a feeling of maybe known this person before. So what is your specific question or concern? Let's zone in on that, Charlene.
We've talked about marriage. So and it's long and complicated, so I need to respect your time and space and what you're doing here.
Yeah,
so,
I can feel the complication. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, long and complicated. Okay. So but there's a big question mark of unknown, like I'm not sure this will really happen, or is this
That's right.
Like a big
it
breath
is.
And a, let me watch this from the side. Let's see. So I'll show you. Was he with somebody else or is with someone else? There feels like there's another relationship that's not complete.
It's, yeah, like I said, complicated. There's somebody who's just having a hard time letting go. He's not
letting
involved
go
with
them. Yeah.
Yeah, she's right. Having a hard time, and he's having a hard time just telling her to go away. I don't know why, but that's not my business,
right? Yeah, I hear you.
So let me help summarize it. Does he want to marry me? Will he marry me, or will he move in? You know, does he plan to move this forward?
Yeah, let's. I think so, but I feel a little bit longer. There's a lot of transformative energy around the two of you. Let's see. Do you feel comfortable either the name or the initial so I can tap more into his energy?
Yeah, Brian. Mm-hmm, Brian.
It's a B, right? B?
Yeah.
Ooh, I was saying B. I'm got you. Is it B?
You're so good. I'm loving listening to your information. You're so bang on. The energy, the nutrition. I'm a healer, right? So it's wonderful to hear what you're saying because it resonates.
Okay.
And I know it's true, so that's awesome.
Oh, I got full body goosebumps. Yes, you guys will be
I'm
together.
Sorry. Okay.
You have to give more time, it might not be as soon as you think. It might even be like September, October. Everybody, we have some little shifts mid-April when the T-score happens, April to May. I would say May, June. There's some rumblings in April. You know what it is? You're the future. You're where he's unfolding and going to, but he has to step into it. You know what I'm saying, Charlene?
I'm always ahead of myself. I've been a forerunner all of my freaking life.
I know. Me too. I know it. And you know what? The thing is, and I want to say for Charlene and other people that are listening, many of us are what's called, we work with the dwellers on the threshold. We're on the threshold. We're always in the gateway. We're always in the cross. You can go to the left. You can go to the right. And very often we have people come through our lives that like, are you going to go? Are you going to go? Come on, let's go. Let's play. Let's fly. Oh, no. Nah. Yeah. So this year you're going to see like a ramping up of that, of people bouncing in your life and bouncing out. And then people coming back around. Here's what I'm hearing to tell you, Charlene, is, do your life, walk forward. Don't run, don't go back, don't hold back. But I feel he will move up towards you. He is undergoing something where his vibrational frequency is actually being stepped up. there's a lot of resonance between the two of you. I feel that it's a very, I mean, if I was looking astrologically, I'd say eighth house connection. There's a strong mental, emotional, spiritual, sexual, energetic, you know, environment. It's a very soul connected, you know, we come in with soul mates, but we have those twin souls that just kind of, you know, like a pair of shoes. But he has to, he's got a little bit of guilt about the last one, but it's saying you will be together. It is saying that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you said something about a square. This isn't a question. You said something about a square. You mean the Uranus? We're coming to the peak? Sorry?
Yes. This month. Right around, I feel the 15th of energy, 15, 16, 17, the energy is really going to shift. I guess the actual T-square exact is the 20th, so about the 25th. But that T-square, I'm looking at it, everybody, as like a tweezer, okay? We're going to be tweezed. Everybody's tweezed to where, you know, where are you keeping it too small and where are you having to move on? And the thing that we're all being guided to come from is the place of lowering our expectations of situations and the other, you know, putting that energy of expectation on the other or outer circumstance into our own creativity, our own unfolding, our own spiritual practice, or our own connecting with playmates that are already there. So expect some rumblings in relationships. Expect, you know, lessening of expectation. But here's what I want to say, that lessening of expectation doesn't mean it doesn't evolve in a way that we ultimately want or like. What it means is, have you ever seen those stepladders? So you may be getting on a stepladder. You may be, instead of going on rung number one or step number one, you may be able to, your legs might be long enough that you go two and three and jump up. Some people right now, that we have to lower the step for them. We have to let them lower the step and get up on the ladder themselves. So we might be jumping, oh, rung number two, three, look at me, you know. And they're like putting their foot up and it keeps sliding down. Let them lower the step to what's more manageable for them energetically so they can attune a line from there and stabilize, and then they'll be able to come up. So a lot of people are meeting people that are kind of half-seas, almost there, and you got to, in a sense, just let it be, wait it out. And the turnaround will either be May, June in that gateway or September, October. And then for some people, you know, it'll be November, December. But I'm seeing a lot of positive change in the May, June time period and also the September, October. So I would say just allow and let it be. I feel he'll come to you. He'll see it. He'll see it, Charlene.
He speaks
all right.
Like he does. Now we need the actions. Thank you. You're one.
Well, that's
can
it,
I
but
just,
see that's it, the action. Yeah, but the action means what's happening is a lot of people are intellectually getting things, they're getting the understanding, but the emotional body isn't yet there. There's too much fear in the emotional body. So we have to just lower the step. We just have to lower the step that they can enter into this next level.
Right.
Okay?
Michelle, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Charlene. Much peace. Big hug. Okay. Hi, 571-244. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. This is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. Welcome. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I have a question. I had been dating my ex. We were together for a while, and then we broke up. But my question is, I want to move on, but I'm not sure if I should. Is there any hope, or should I just let everything go?
Okay, say that again. Is there any hope? You had been dating?
Yes.
Yeah.
My ex.
And what?
We broke up for a year now. Mm-hmm.
But you got back together. Were you back and forth?
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like. Now where is it? Now what's happening?
Now we're broken up. We're dating different people.
People, I feel. Okay, what's his name?
Abdul.
Or. Now, here's an, another one. I don't feel it's completely over yet, but I think they're going to have a choice. And there was somebody else that called in that was very similar that two calls again. The choice is going to be, do I want to stick with this? Because I do feel you're going to meet someone else or you already have that I feel is going to turn into a really good relationship. Very promising, but Stacy and Abdul. Well, it's showing yes that you will get back together. So I feel you just date, do what you're doing, go on your path. It feels like there seems to be a mutual friend or somebody I feel that's going to kind of check in on you. It's not right away. I feel like it's months away, and I feel like it's going to be him indirectly. Do you have a mutual female friend?
We have a lot of mutual friends.
Okay, because I feel like it could be somebody's girlfriend or wife, a significant other, and I feel like Abdul has been kind of sniffing around, asking, and then I feel her kind of checking, well, do you like someone or what's happening? I feel, I don't know if you're going to notice it because I feel like you're kind of really busy, but what I want to say, slow down and notice it because that's when I feel that he's coming back around. And he's just not ready for that. You want that commitment right now. You want to move, he's not there yet.
Okay.
So this is for a lot of people. Watch why, listen to the show last week we did with Robert Wilkinson. He talked about the astrologer. He talked about this so brilliantly. See, we're all being challenged because we are personality beings. You know, our personality, our ego, the healthy ego, not the false ego, just like our physical body is the physical, it's extension of the soul. So in other words, if I didn't have a physical body and a certain personality, you wouldn't say, that's Michelle. She dresses this way. She likes this kind of me, da, da, da. All my, little quirks and whatever, that's my soul in physical form.
Mm-hmm.
We're all getting bumped up against these social mores, Stacey, like I should marry at this time, or if he didn't say I love you, or if he said I love you, it's too soon, it's not soon enough, or he doesn't make enough money, or he does, or he's too tall or short, or she's too this, or she's a good mother, or, I have to go to college. See, we're bumping up against all these. That's the Pluto in Capricorn, and the Uranus in Aries says, freedom, liberation, be who you really are. That's what this age of Aquarius is about. Know thyself, live from the soul. So I feel all of us, myself included, we have to alter our expectations, assumptions of how things are going to turn out or what, if you dated a year, now we've got to get engaged. I don't know. We're so individual. So Stacey, I feel let go of some of the expectations you have on the timing and how this should unfold. Or what he should be doing, because I feel when you do that, that's when you guys get back together, right?
Okay. Yes.
And he's strong. He's stubborn and strong. But you like that
exactly.
In a guy. So, ladies, if you like a stubborn, strong guy, don't try to tame him. Don't do the taming of the because if he is that, he's gonna move on. If you like that strength, he's going to be oppositional sometimes. But you go in your feminine, you go in your empress. When the guy goes into the emperor, don't try to emperor him out. Go into your feminine receptive side, and you'll get a lot more done. Let's just put it that way. Okay, Stacey.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Hi, 617. Let's see, Stacey, were you 604?
No, I need
area code. Who was that?
No, I need to be muted. I'm 604.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Oh, Charlene, okay. All right. Oh, no, I can't get on the here we go. 617-441, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. And to whom am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. What's your question?
Hi. I had an astrology question.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so my question is, I just wanted to know how I was going to be impacted by what is the cardinal cross? Jupiter actually transiting my ascendant, which I'm excited about because it's been in the 12th house forever and a day, and I need it to go. It's transiting
what sign is
Aquarius.
You know, what's on your ascendant?
It's 13 degrees Cancer.
Oh, it is actually Cancer, so it's conjunct. Okay.
So I have a couple of different things that are like 13 degrees, and I kind of just wanted to see how I was going to be impacted by.
Okay, so what is 13 degrees? So you've got 13 degrees Cancer on the ascendant. What else? And your sun is in Aquarius. What's your moon in?
Libra.
Okay, so
that's
going to be impacted
25
as
degrees.
Well.
Right.
Okay. But still, okay. But that this year it's impact. Okay. And what else is 13 degrees?
So I have Capricorn and my seventh house, and that's 13 degrees. And I think that's my descendant, correct?
Yep, that's your descendant. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, here's for you a couple of things. I want to say your public self or how people see you will be greatly changed. You're going to be playing around with that. And how it's going to impact your descendant or the seventh house is you're going to be wanting to attract different types of people than what you did in the past, okay?
Okay.
And it's also a thing because our descendant is what we already know or what we default to. Some people say past life, similar to like a south node. So you can tend to default, to getting into like a work mode or very organized or, you know, channeling stuff into maybe more practical matters.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't necessarily see you that way. I want to tell you that that's probably a protection mechanism for you, right? That's your default position when you're feeling, you know, a little vulnerable. And so what I would say is how people are seeing you in that Cancerian energy of more nurturing, giving, maybe a little more pliable, is to actually go more into that when you're feeling vulnerable. So whether giving to yourself or having others give to you or pulling back and nurturing yourself. It's on the seventh house. Is it in the seventh house or it's on the cusp? Or does Capricorn actually go in the seventh house as well?
No, it's in the seventh house.
Oh, it is. Okay, perfect. So, of course, that's what you tend to want to attract also in a mate, someone with those qualities. So how this is going to affect you, I'd say one of the most important things is how you view yourself and how you're going to start noticing more how others are viewing you. And that also ties into your moon in Libra. As to seeing, I want to say you getting more of your fair share, Melissa, in the nurturing department. Do you know what I mean? Getting more taken care of. Either you taking care of yourself better or allowing others to take better care of you, allowing yourself to receive more. So areas of emotional fulfillment will be called into play. This doesn't mean Xing people out, but you are going to find that you're not going to want to be around people that are a little or too needy and not giving enough. You know, you're going to find naturally that you're spending more time, you know, less time with those types of people. Also, I feel that there will probably be some hair color, hair style, changes to the physical body as well. Where you're, again, giving yourself more time, more nurturing, more attention on your physical body. And this could be diet, nutrition, health, fitness, you know. And also I'm hearing with you cleaning out your closet. So get rid of stuff that you're not wearing. I feel weight. Have you lost a weight? Are you trying to?
I'm trying to because I gained.
You will.
Like I fell into a depression and I've just been eating.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that's going to be affected is I do feel the weight coming off. Get rid of the clothes. First and foremost, get rid of the clothes that you don't feel good in. You know, we've all had them. They're the I'm fat clothes. I don't feel good in these. Get rid of those clothes. And one of the changes will be the weight loss. That's one of the byproducts of this transit for you. Okay, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 609. Welcome to Awakening. 609-468, you're on Awakenings Radio. Okay. Oops. It would help if you're unmuted, right? Can't. some reason my not able to see. 609-468, welcome to Awakenings. I can hear you.
I think you need to mute me to bring the other person on.
Yeah, I've had something happen with my let's see, here we are. No, I don't need to, but for some reason it's not coming. Okay. Well, we're out of time anyway. So those of you that didn't get on air, if you will definitely call back next week. Well, hang on, because we've got a great guest coming on. Tashu Powers will be with us. Let's see if I can get... but if you didn't happen not to get on air, not to say there may not be time for questions later, but please always just connect back with us. We do this every Wednesday, 12 p.m. to about 12-ish, I guess. So our guest today is Tashu Powers. She's an evolutionary astrologer. She's been an astrologer since she was a teenager and has read over 10,000 charts. She has clients on four continents, and currently she lectures and teaches astrology in the city of Los Angeles, where she works full-time as a professional evolutionary astrologer. Tashi's EA readings, evolutionary astrology readings, show how the cosmos, Mother Nature, and the clocks of the universe reveal our archetypal independence with all that is. I saw her at Orlando, good friends of mine. I just was so blown away. I wanted to share her and her wisdom and insight with our Awakening listeners. Welcome to the program, Tashi.
Hi there, Michelle.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad you fit it in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so
I've been
excited.
Listening to the show. How lucky all your listeners are. You're so delightful with them.
Oh, my God. Great. You're listening. I didn't know. So cool. I just was so, in fact, I still go back to my notes. My friend Diane, another fellow astrologer, we just feverishly took notes the whole time, you know, during your workshop, which I want to let people just, because we've got a very tactile radio audience, that you do have something coming up at Orlando in Malibu.
I do. Sunday. I'm there on the 27th of April.
Okay.
And they're on Facebook, and it's OLANDAR, so they can people can Google.
Perfect.
People
can also, they can find out more information about you by going to enlighteningtimes.com.
Yes, and I put something up there just for your audience this morning.
Oh, perfect. So some people they listen, you know, but then they also like to go to the website and just, you know, start reading information. A lot of the times I'll get things in the chat. I'm on a website after this. This is going on. I'm like, okay. So I want to give that out to everyone. Yes, so where to begin? Okay, so first of all, we've had like this energy that is off the charts, especially at the get-go of this year. If you can just dive in and speak to that, I guess it's the year of the horse, and what's that meaning for us, I guess. We could just,
I practice evolutionary astrology, so it's a little bit different than regular sun sign astrology.
Okay.
We look at planetary phases, and we try to tune into Mother Nature as the guardian of natural law, and we try to tune into the cosmos and the universe using the planetary cycles, the sun and the moon, the eclipses, the retrogrades, all these things as our teaching guides, as our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so the year of the horse, we go to, or the magical unicorn, as I like to call it, we go to the Chinese system, which is tens of thousands of years old, and we realize that this is a wood year, and wood has a calming effect on all animals. So a horse is a very energetic animal. It's also gentle and gregarious. It's extremely good at networking. I don't know if you've ever seen horses in the wild, but they're always horsing around. I think that's where that comes from. The symbol of freedom is the horse, independence. And so this is a good year to practice those attributes in your own life, gentleness, gregariousness. Horses are also known for elegance. So whatever level of elegance you want to step it up, this is the year to do it.
Mm.
And I put something up on my website on enlighteningtimes.com of the ascendancy table because I like to give people really practical ideas on how to navigate a year. And one of the things is that the horse gets along with some of the other animals better than some of the others, right? Gets along very well with the sheep, the tiger, and the dog. And so I decided in my own little, you know, crazy wisdom, wonderful wisdom, feminine wisdom that we all have, intuition, that the hours of the sheep, which are the ascendancy tables in Chinese, just like rising signs, their animals rise, all right? The hours of the sheep would be good because they're so calming to the horse to use those for organizing yourself and calming. And so those are 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And the hours of the horse, which are just before that, which are now, are extremely good hours, 11 to 1, for networking because the horse is so good at horsing around and, you know, hanging out with people and community and
so
looking at outcomes.
Wait, 11, what was it, 11?
A.m. to 1 p.m., noon, basically.
Okay.
No, it's a really good time to be social. So if you need to take a meeting this year with someone, take a lunch meeting. Or go to dinner from 7 to 9 because those are the years of the dog. Those are the hours of the dog. And so these are just really practical things you can do on a daily basis during the year of the horse using the hours of the sheep, the tiger, and the dog and the horse really positively. So I put those hours up on my website. Isn't that great, though?
I love that. Now, this brings me, because you said, I'm kind of jumping around here, but how did you get involved with this particular type of astrology? Or defined?
Okay.
Because you've been doing astrology since you were a teenager. I'm assuming, did you start with this type, or did you somehow
No, well, in a way, in a it? Way. I met a fellow named Dane Rudger, who just happened to be the brightest astrologer on the planet when I was a teenager, living in San Francisco at, you know, some hippie kind of thing that was going on. I was helping clean up oil spills, and he was talking there. I know. So there he was, and he was like, what's your rising sign? And I didn't know, and he gave me a whole reading based on my month, day, and year, and I thought, wow. So then I got into astrology, and I realized I was intuitive about it and gifted, and I just think there's past lives involved when it comes so easily. And then I met a fellow who had been lecturing in the astrology world. Many people have known about him, Jeffrey Wolf Green, who is just this brilliant astrologer. And he had this epiphany where he channeled from Paramahansa Yogananda all these new ideas on how to look at planetary connections with the cosmos. And he called it evolutionary astrology. And he wrote a couple of books. And I went and spent 2 weeks studying with him, which, you know, I had clients all over the world already. And he was like, wow, what are you doing here? I was like, well, this is something better. It's deeper because it's about our evolution as a species and less about fortune telling, more about archetypal. And I don't mean I mean it in the sense that we're all part of the universe. We're all playing out roles, you know? And so Venus and love, we're all working on the love puzzle. And I sweetly listen to your clients and my clients. We all want to know about love. And so we all really have to work on self-love. And as we embrace beauty and bliss and bounty, love comes to us. But if we don't love ourselves, then we continue to be in the archetypal play of working it out on the outside all the time.
Okay.
And so it's important to learn to work on these things on the inside. So in evolutionary astrology, I'll spend time with people and just say, okay, you know, here's the evolutionary gateways like eclipses and retrogrades that you get to internalize and that you get to really deepen your understanding of who you are and what is your evolutionary task, what are you supposed to be doing. And as you get better at that, your life gets easier, and the bounty and the bliss and the beauty and the love, it just all flows towards you if you embrace your own evolution, as you clearly are telling your people already.
Yeah, it's so individual, isn't it? I mean, and that's one reason, I mean, I do love astrology because there's that template. It's the template or, you know, reveals the soul design, what we're here to focus on or do and, you know, our path. I so agree with you. I think if people know thyself, right? I'm over the school, mystery school in Delphi, you know thyself. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, love thyself. It's love and accept. Everything extends from that. I do feel, Tashi, which I, you know, I do feel that people are starting to get that more, like, hey, I am an individual soul, you know, I have to find out what's right for me and share and love from that place. I do feel that that's perhaps being highlighted more. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Do you see that with the people that you're working with and?
Oh, yes. This is kick-ass chili. I mean, we are, it's evolution revolution. There are so many people dying, and astrologers knew this, you know. Like, it's very, very sad, but the plane disappearance, the mudslides, just all these things that are going on and that are probably going to continue most of this year as we have this Pluto-Uranus square. It's wake up or die, really. And it, you don't have to have a physical death, but you're not going to be able to really drag your old crap around forever. You really have to let go and liberate yourself and go on a new adventure. Be the fool stepping off the cliff somewhere in your life to get through this year unscathed by Pluto's death rebirth energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pluto's no joke. I had it transiting my second house. And I heard, I got it in my meditation, I heard this voice say, give it away or it'll be taken away. And then my soul says, oh, you've got Pluto in your second house. I go, you know what, I'm going to consciously get rid of what I no longer need that's tying me down.
And, well, the second house is Venus, and everybody wants to know always about Venus. And Venus is, we have to use our own resources and our own talents in our life. So one of those talents is loving ourselves. And until we really, really receive great, healthy love from others, we don't get that until we really can use our own talent of self-love and of our own, whatever our own unique gift is, and sharing that with others.
Yeah. Well,
that's
and I,
how you
at
get
the
love.
Time, I had been traveling a lot of model and acting, and I had just so much stuff accumulated that I feel it was wearing me down. And I just not only sold a bunch of stuff, but just gave a bunch of stuff away. And I kind of, when you said that about that death rebirth, you know, wake up or die, I feel like a lot of people are at that place right now. And I don't know where would it show in, perhaps in this type of astrology, what needs to be given up or moved on from? I mean, is that...
Well, yeah, it does show. Pluto is in Capricorn. Yeah, it shows. Pluto's in Capricorn. So Capricorn, when it's most unconscious, is keeping up with the Joneses, its status. So that stuff is the stuff. And a lot of people lost their stuff as Pluto went into Capricorn. And the tsunami happened as Uranus went into Aries. And so there was Uranus going into Aries and the tsunami was the beginning of the Uranus-Pluto square, which highlights what happened in the 60s when Uranus and Pluto conjoined in Virgo, and that is take care of Mother Earth. So for all of us, we really have to pay more attention to recycling on our own personal level, not being so wasteful, you know, not going shopping all the time, but saying, huh, maybe I can go to a thrift store and just find, let's say you just need a baking glass. Well, maybe there's a recycled one. You know, and you can look, and if it isn't there, okay, you go buy a new one. And if you have too many, let's say you have five or six of something, you go take them to a thrift store to share them with other people. Sharing is part of Pluto and Capricorn. Capricorn has tremendous dignity, and that's its high point, and it's very good at leadership, and it's ultimately excellent at community involvement and leadership and growth. So if you can find some way to be involved with your community and leadership as you are on the radio, and I find my work to be very much about helping lead people out of, you know, fear, really, of letting go. Mm-hmm. And then living in the moment, be here now, living in the moment. That's Pluto in Capricorn. And getting rid of your status, thinking you are your stuff. You are your last name. You are your husband's name. You are anything to do with status, your family, your marriage, your work, your career, All of that is the lovely aspects of Capricorn. But when you think that's who you are and that's all you think you are, you're missing a great deal of yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, it sounds like what I'm hearing from you, it's like the over-focus.
Yeah.
I find it interesting what you said with the sharing, because I have found lately, just in the last few months, and I've been loving to do it. I mean, I've been sharing more. I like giving anyway, but I find even monetarily, it's like I've had extra and I've had people have certain things happen, and I'm like, as a gifting, just gifting them, and I said, no, I have extra right now. It's fine, you know. But I didn't realize sharing was a component of Capricorn.
Well, it's really, it is, but it's because Uranus in Aries. Sharing is all of the signs because they all have the polarity. They all have polarity. But actually Uranus is about collaboration and sharing and community and friendship. And so Uranus and Pluto are in this tight square all year. It lets up and then it comes back and it's exact again in December. But it's very exact all through April, which is why we're having these earthquakes everywhere. And the more that we can, the more that we can just let go and be in the now in our lives, because I think in California we're so lucky that we're learning here to live with these earthquakes and to learn to have less clutching to our life and to be more unclutched. Because the earthquake really makes you be a little bit more unclutched, you know. You just don't know. And that's happening all over the earth. Everybody has something, a hurricane, or, you know, everybody has something they live with. But
so
this
collaboration,
business
sharing,
of sharing.
The community. It seems more
Uranus
community.
Aries.
Or group book. Okay.
Yeah, that's Uranus. Uranus is Aquarius's ruler. And that's really more the community. Capricorn is leadership of the community, helping lead the community. So all the community signs are Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, the last three signs.
Such a wealth of knowledge. I love that. Well, I think it puts a, you know, this information you're giving, even this right here, it puts a different focus or overlay of what's really happening. Because what's jumping out at me, which is, of course, you just said before, the Aquarian age, but that idea of collaboration, sharing, community, those higher octave Aquarian energies and focuses, really to me it seems to be stepping us forward into more of collective or group consciousness, you know, not excluding the individual, but you know, thinking about each other, that we're, in a sense, all in this together. How can we, you know, help each other, be with each other, share with each other, you know, like you said earlier, you know, if you have extra, you know, give it away, you know, or recycle.
And just what you're doing. If someone needs something, give it to them. It's really what Uranus and Pluto are going to do to all of us all year, you know. It started in about 2007, 2008. With Pluto going into Capricorn and people really realizing that, you know, just going into so much debt to get a big flat TV screen or a bigger house was stupid. And some people realized it, and some people had to lose things. And we're still in those lessons. We're still in the lessons of learning and that, how to share, how to be better neighbors with each other, planetary neighbors eventually, and even just in your own neighborhood. And how to be a better friend.
Yeah, better friend, better. And, you know, and it's very interesting. At some point, I don't know what the little turning point was, but you actually just feel, I guess I could speak for myself, and I know some other friends I've been talking to this with, that you actually feel not only more fulfilled, but like a bit safer in the universe by giving more. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
You do. You know, you do. I mean, when you align with Mother Nature, you are aligning with yourself and your highest self because you are part of, we'll call it the game of life or the play of life or the play of consciousness. There's so many ways to say it, the great cosmic mother. It's yourself. So when you're being kind to others, you're really being kind to yourself. It's all, you're all of it. Mm-hmm. And eventually you do begin to see that. And so then you become wildly, you know, giving and loving because it's all you.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like I'm having some kind of, I don't know, you know, this moment. You know, it's like peace, love, and happiness. But you do get a little wild with it. It's kind of ecstatic in a quiet way. You know, it's just
yeah. Well, they say enlightenment is degrees of bliss.
Oh, I like that.
And that's why I called it enlightening times. I think we are in enlightening times. Those of us who will wake up and let go of our consensus need to be part of a herd that we've outgrown and will individuate and come with our gifts, and then we'll learn to be interdependent, learn to share really who we are and see our interdependence. This is the evolutionary model in astrology. How do we all see our interdependence? We go through stages of consensus, individuation, and interdependence, and we awaken in all of those. They're all fine. It's okay to be a member of a herd for a while. You know, you like bowling, you go play bowling. It's fine. You're in a book club, great. But you also have an individual gift, and you have interdependence, where you really do need to serve each other. And this year, if you don't do it this year, you're probably going to get beat up a little bit.
Yeah, I've been feeling that. I've been seeing that with people I've working with. The call to individuate and then use those gifts is so strong. I've even seen people getting sick a lot that aren't doing it, that know they need to be, or they started, and whatever fear holding them back. Now, one thing, Tasha, you say consensus, and I feel like maybe even with this T-square or the energies we're in now, there seems to be bumping up against the individual and consensus reality or consensus rules. Does this mean
right.
that consensus goes away, or is it just a different balance to consensus or different playing out of consensus?
In evolutionary astrology, one of the stages that you're always going to find yourself in is a consensus stage. There's an aspect of you, you know, you sleep at night. Everybody else sleeps at night. You sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
You eat breakfast. These are just very rudimentary, but they're normal consensus things. And then you work, you know, you maybe join a certain, you go to the gym. That's a consensus activity.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the, you know, crazy wild adventurer who's off skiing or off hiking or by himself, you know. That's
mm-hmm.
more of an individual. So the consensus is normal, but Uranus is squaring Pluto, and it's asking us to break away from the aspects of our consensus that we've outgrown because we're stuck there for status reasons. And that's the challenge for people. And we're out of the T-square. We're coming into the Grand Cross in April. And
the Grand Cross
has... Yeah, the Grand Cross is Jupiter, Mars, Uranus, and Pluto. And Mars is in Libra, Jupiter is in Cancer, Pluto's in Capricorn, and Uranus is in Aries. And that Grand Cross is April 14th and 15th. And, you know, nobody knows exactly what it's going to be. We can all work on it individually by letting go and pioneering. Mars insists that we pioneer and that we're courageous in our life. And it is in Libra, which is about relationships. So if you're stuck in a relationship that in some way invalidates you, you've become a victim or a martyr, these are evolutionary astrology terms, or your domination submission paradigms are awkward. That means somebody's telling you what to do and you're just going along with it. We jokingly call it Betty Crocker Marlboro Man. These are old paradigms. I know, it's funny, isn't it?
I love that.
Yeah, and so we're not there anymore. You've got to say, no, you know, I'm happy to make you dinner, but you got to make me dinner too, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, this
not
makes
everybody.
Sense why I felt, because I felt the energy shift I felt around the 15th or 14th, 15th, 16th. That,
yeah, there's
so this
a huge shift
to me.
Huge shift. And we have
and
eclipses
then,
in April.
Okay. So you're saying that this will affect relationship or what we're playing out in relationship to perhaps what I'm hearing from you evolve to that next level.
Well, Mars is the most personal of the planets. Jupiter is kind of on the fence in Cancer. It has to do with family and our nurturing ourselves and enriching the
mm-hmm.
self and others. And Mars is always about a kind of integrity and authenticity. And Uranus and Pluto are also about integrity and authenticity. So you really have to, you know, step up your game when it comes to your own authenticity with Mars, that you make sure that you're doing the right thing all the time, that your actions are the right action, which is as simple as always telling the truth. You know, I always tell my clients, don't lie. Whatever you do, don't lie, because it confuses the subconscious of the other person. We all know everything. Our guides tell us everything. There's a sound current. We hear when people talk about us. We are so much more connected to each other than you can even imagine. So if you don't want to tell somebody something because it's private, don't say it out loud, but don't lie. So that would be a Mars action, getting your action, gradient action. And I have this on my website for people to go look it up, how to have more courage, what to do, what's the right thing. That's the most personal planet involved in this Grand Cross. And it's in Libra, which is the sign of self, others. So in evolutionary astrology, it's all polarity. Aries, Libra is a polarity. So Aries is I do my own thing, and Libra is in, with consideration for others. So I'm considerate of others, but I also find time for myself. That's the Aries-Libra polarity. And that's the one that's coming up April 5th, 14th, 15th. It's part of it that people really have to work on.
Oh, God, so powerful. So powerful.
Yeah.
So, wow, majorly powerful.
It's so easy once you get into it, though. You just you think about what you're going to do. Now, is this too much for them and not enough for me? Too much for me, not enough for them. You know, you try to find a balance.
Yeah. Well, we have some people in the chat loving this perspective of the outer planet's real meaning. She keeps it so simple. Just awesome. Yeah. It's,
good.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're also sharing is the balancing point, you know, by it gives people, you know, powers people that, okay, is there too much over here or not enough over there? Too much me, not enough we. I mean, it's very...
Right.
Manageable, you know, to be able to assess that and respond from that perspective.
Well, the Jupiter-Pluto one, which is causing, you know, so much of the death that, I mean, maybe it was always like that, but we didn't have the internet. We didn't hear about mudslides in Washington and airplanes going down,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But Jupiter-Cancer, that one, domination, submission, and that's a really big one in evolutionary astrology where we really try to be considerate of equality between people. And we don't try to dominate others, and we don't allow ourselves to be submissive. That's Cancer Capricorn. And that has to do with our government, has to do with voting, our human rights, how we raise our children. It's the family. It's our extended family. That's the Jupiter-Pluto part of the opposition, Cancer Capricorn. And then the other one is Aries-Libra, which I talked about. So those are the two things to really keep in mind in your microcosm, because they do affect the macrocosm. And I believe that if we work on ourselves, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Makes sense. So now we have this going on. How does that year of the horse tie into this? Is it just amplify everything, or, you know, because I know the horse from, you know, seeing you speak and doing your workshop, that things can move pretty quickly.
Yeah, the year of the horse is a wild year, you know. It, like an untamed stallion, it just moves. And so Uranus and Pluto are also very powerful energies, collective energies. So the collective is moving with these squares, and the horse, it's all synchronistic, you know. It's all a big puzzle that it fits together. So you'd have to have a dynamic animal to handle such dynamic energy, right? And horses have a lot of dignity and a lot of elegance, and so I think it's going to give us the courage to really take on these transformational aspects of our own lives and have the courage to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get on that horse. I'm going to ride that trail. I'm going to practice my independence a little bit. I'm going to listen.
Yeah, a friend of mine kept saying, well, she's actually a horse. I don't know. There's wood horse. Is there a metal horse?
Yeah, there's a bunch of elements, metal, air, earth, water, fire.
Okay. Well, she's a metal horse, and she. I told her about your workshop, and she said, I feel like I'm holding the tail of the horse, and the horse is just, you know, just out in the field. So I told her, I said, well, God's sake, jump on the horse. Jump on the horse. But with this energy moving so quickly. So I like what you say. So you're saying in a way it's giving us the courage, you know, and maybe even the momentum, I feel, to handle and flow with these changes that are coming up?
People can use all the positive qualities of the horse this year. It has a lot of courage, and the horse is very kind-hearted. And so you can take these aspects into yourself and find yourself more courageous and kinder to yourself and others. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you really have to do is just, like last year was the year of the snake, don't look at these 2 years as lightweight years. These are very transformational years, especially because of Pluto-Uranus going on as well in the sky. You know, it's a big puzzle. The cosmos is a big puzzle. And you have to add as many things as you can in your capacity to understand it all into the mix. And so the horse just gives you this magical sense of the unicorn that you can do it. You can really make big changes in your life by paying attention to the magical aspect of the unicorn, realizing there is synchronicity and there is energy between you and the cosmos, and you can harness it and you can use it to go forward in your own life.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot during this year that with the this transformative energy that affecting our individual relationship to ourselves and to others. There seems to be a lot, even if you look at what's happening within systems, you know, governmental systems, educational systems, political systems, healthcare systems, we're still talking about people. We're still talking about individuals that then come together collectively. What is your intuition, your wisdom, your insight on this? What do you feel is happening or meant to be happening in these arenas?
Well, I think that we're going to see a lot of adjustments between people on power trips between June and August when Saturn in Scorpio makes it's called the finger of God aspect, the quincunx to Uranus in Aries. And that's because Saturn rules Capricorn. We have to keep a close eye politically on Saturn in Scorpio. And so in terms of the world, we'll probably see big adjustments from June 28th to August 10th. If anyone has planets at 16 degrees, Uranus makes a station at 16 Aries and Saturn gets to 16 Scorpio. And so there's this long period of a month and a half where there's this quincunx, finger of God. And that's when we'll have a sense of how much growth we're making. And I believe that each of us has to work very hard on ourselves. So in June, we have Mars opposite Uranus, which is the same aspect that's making these earthquakes now that's going to repeat June and July. And if we have made progress in our own life, then we probably have less disruption on the outside, and the collective also benefits. So it's really hard to predict everything about the collective, because each of us independently are, we're part of it. We're part of it. So, you know, on a radio show like this, you just have to encourage people to work so hard on themselves. Go to yoga, meditate, you know, study awakening, enlightening ideas.
Yeah.
Pay attention. And then in October, there's
October,
two more eclipses, and we have a chance for a huge breakthrough. So that's the overview of the year of the horse. Will we get there? I mean, I'm very optimistic. I hope so.
Yeah. So, but I love what you said, and I think it's so important to touch back on, is that individually, I call it mitigating consciousness. I'm like, what we do individually can lessen the disruption or the staccato-ness of it or the extremes. It still comes back to us individually. That as we're changing,
be less prickly.
And
Mars is a part of this. Be less prickly in your life. Don't be prickly with other people. You know what I mean. Everybody knows what I mean by that, right? Don't be prickly. If you find yourself being prickly, stop immediately and go, huh, if I put this energy into the world with this very intense Mars energy all through April, it's going to escalate. Now, right before 9/11, I watched everybody fighting, and I was begging people. I said, you've got to stop fighting. Enlightening people around me were fighting with other people. I'm like, you've got to stop this. Nobody could stop it. And I knew something was coming, because nobody could stop arguing or fighting, the prickliness. Whereas this time I'm watching it and I'm seeing a lot more people embracing bliss, embracing exercise, embracing this Mars energy. because we, you know, we took such a big hit last time that I think all of us have gotten a little bit more humble. And when we find ourselves being prickly, this Mars energy, we stop ourselves.
Yeah, I've been having to do that because being prickly right now does not work.
It isn't working, and it will blow up on you, you know, and it will blow up on all of us. Prickly, that's the word.
Prickly. I love it, prickly.
It's a great word.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my
God, one of my enlightening friends gave it to me, so I pass it forward.
Thank you. This has been so amazing. I want to extend the invite, because I know my producer's listening as well, for you to come back whenever you want. Come back for part two, or whenever you have things going on, or just feel like sharing and chatting, please know that you have a
I'm happy to help,
invite.
You know. Yeah, and I love your show. Your listeners are lucky to have you, and keep doing the good work.
Thank you. You as well. And hopefully I'll see you back at Alander.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to be there April 27th, talking about how to cure your life with Vedic principles. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. How to cure your life using Vedic principles. Like, for example, you're having trouble with prickliness. I don't know if we have a minute. You're having trouble with it. So you get a little statue of Vishnu or a crystal, and you find out where your own Mars energies are, and you put it there, and then you start to worship yourself and worship that energy and worship that planet, and you start having a ritual of positive intention. Intention is creation. Doubt is the eraser. And so you start having positive intention towards Mars, and your prickliness will go away.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. Well, we're streaming now. Thanks, Tashi, so much for being on Awakening.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Michelle. Bye-bye.
Okay. And that was Tashi Powers, evolutionary astrologer. Just amazing insights. We went over a little bit. I'm so glad that we could. She will be in Malibu on Sunday, April 27th, at teaching how to cure your life using ancient Vedic techniques and modern technology. You can find out more information by going to enlighteningtimes.com. That's enlighteningtimes.com. And again, that was Tashi Powers. So blessed to have her on. It's just love it. She's amazing.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.